Going to continue the series on choices. Today I want to talk about who or what is ruling your world. As a believer, you have been given this incredible gift called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, He is a person that lives in you. When you start grasping this, you realize that wherever you go, whatever you do, every place in life, the Holy Spirit, He is in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the residence of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Therefore, our choices matter because they matter to God. Our choices matter because He is engaged in our life. Where we go and what we do, our experiences, He lives in us. Since He lives in us, we take Him through the experiences. And many times we struggle because we don't fully understand the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. I want you to go with me in your Bibles today to the book of Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 28. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Now, this scripture in Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28, theologians call it creation mandate. That's really what it is. You may want to write a side note out there. It's called the creation mandate. It is God's mandate for His creation. It's what He says, "This is my intentions for man." The three big questions we ask: where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Three big questions man asks. Why am I here? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? The "why am I here" is answered right there. That is the why. The reason is because God wants you to walk in dominion. What does a dominion mean? Well, to Adam in his world, it was the animals, the fish, the things upon the ground. It was walk in dominion and have his environment. Walk in dominion. Your environment is what I want you to walk in dominion over. But Adam became seduced. Adam was seduced by Eve. Eve was seduced by Lucifer. Now, what is seduction? Seduction appeals to your emotions. Seduction does not appeal to your logic. Seduction always appeals to your emotions. So when you're in life, you have to look at it and say, now, is this appealing to my emotions? Or is this appealing to logic? Now, where does logic come from? Last week I talked about reference points. The Bible is a reference point. Some people look at the Bible as a list of rules. It's not a list of rules. The Bible is saying, I am giving you this guide, and it's truth. It's more than just a guide, but it is a guide for your life, because if you will use this, life will be like I intended it for it to be for you. So the Bible is given to us for us to live life the way God intended. So when we look at that, I get to live my life the way God intended me to live when I go by the Bible. So why does that? It brings value. Logic will bring added value to your life. Emotions will take from your life. So you have to look, am I living in the emotion or am I living in the logic? When I look at the reference points of my life, does this make sense? Is it the right thing by truth, which is the Word of God? Or am I just feeling this? And so many people are allowing life to do them rather than them do life, because they're living life based on emotions rather than living life based on logic, the Word of God, truth. Now, God gave Adam and He said, "Adam, I'm going to trust you." The interesting thing about God, He is always the initiator. That's where we learn chivalry from, where the man is a chivalrous man. We learned it from God's relationship to man. God initiates the relationships. God initiates in your life. So what God does is he says, here's what I want for your life. I was in discussion with a young lady this week. And so she was talking about her direction in her life. And I looked at her and I said, now let me ask you some questions. How old are you? And she said, I'm 25. And I said, now let's look at when you're 40. And I'm going to give you a picture of your life at 40. Statistics say you have a 50% chance of being single at 40 years of age. It doesn't necessarily mean divorce. It could be my mother was widowed at 40 years old with 10 children. I said, so statistics say you will be single, 50% chance single at 40. And I said, how many children do you want to have at 40? I'd like to have at least two. I said, so let's take a scenario. You're 40 years of age and you're single. You've got two children. Now, what kind of income do you need to make at 40 years of age for you to take care of those children with you being single? She sat down and she gave me a number. After she gave me a number, I said, now, what kind of job do you need to have at 40 years of age for you to take care of your children? Now, y'all see the picture right here. And I said, here's the thing. God sees the end from the beginning. So God always starts at the end. What are the results you want? Go there, and then you back up. And I said, if you'll learn to make your choices in life that way, you start at the results you want. What are the desired results that I want for my life? What are the desired achievements that I want for my life? What is my desire? Because notice this, your desire is given to you by God. And then your talents are given to you by God. Your gifts are given to you by God. So God says, Adam, I am giving you this authority and I'm trusting you with it. Well, Adam abdicated. He betrayed and he lost his authority there in the garden. So if you look at it, you say, wow. But can I tell you this? Just because Adam abdicated or gave up his authority does not mean we have to give up our authority. By the first man, Adam, we were all made sinners. It's what Paul said in Romans. But by the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ, we are all made righteous. So see, Jesus came to restore what the first Adam lost. So you as an individual, when you have Christ, he came to restore back. And he says, now here's what I want you to do. The mandate doesn't stop. In the sphere or the world that you live in or the atmosphere that you're in, I want you to have dominion. I want you to rule over your world. I don't want your world ruling over you. Truly what he told Adam. I want you ruling over your world. I don't want you, the world ruling over you. And as a child of God, when you became a Christian, here's what Christ said. I want you, Joe, Sally, Susie. I want you to rule over your world. I don't want the world ruling over you. And see, that's why when we look and see what sin does, sin rules over us but when we become Christ, a Christian, we are to rule over sin. And what are you doing? You're fulfilling God's mandate. You are fulfilling creation mandate when you say, life is not going to rule over me, I am supposed to rule over life. And see, God cares deeply about that. Now, where does it all start? It starts with order. First point, if you look at it, it says you've got to understand God's design for order. Why is order so important? You'll hear us talk about that a lot if you hang around Christ Fellowship. It's important because that's how God begins. That's how God operates. God operates in order. I talk about silly little things all the time, but when I say them, I'm not really saying them because I think they're silly. When you start putting your world in order, it's amazing what happens because you know what you start becoming? In the image of God. God made us in his image. And then Adam and Eve, the world had order. But when they sin, sin gets life out of order. Sin causes chaos. Sin produces drama. God produces order. So you come back and you say, okay, it's about order. So I got to put order in my life. Jesus Christ came and died for you and rose again so you could put your life in order. That's the gospel. And when we understand that, we say, okay, but it's not that easy, Greg. No, because there's a world that pulls against us. There are opposing forces in our world. There are things that pull against you. There are things that pull against me. So how do we make good decisions? How do we rule a world? First, we understand the order of God. Then secondly, I want you to look at this. I want to back up. There's a story I want to tell you. It's out of Matthew chapter 5. And it's a story about the Roman centurion. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And I want to read this because it's a powerful story. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman soldier came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." "I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go. Come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus says to the Roman officer, "Go back home because you believed it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. Now notice this little story. It's a powerful story. Because first, he understood the order. He understood that here's my place. My place, I have people above me and I have people under me. I am responsible to those who are over me. I am responsible for those who are under me. He knew his place. That when you know your place, there's always grace. If you're out of place, you lose your grace. So that's the reason why some people seem to do well in life, because they know their place. They found their place. They operate within their sphere. It's kind of, you've got to know where your sphere is. And if you don't operate in that sphere, or it's a metron, it's the in place of influence in your life. If you operate in that, it's the reason why people who are always nosing into other people's business, that they have chaos in their life. Do you know why? Because they're out of place. And you'll always know this. People who are always into everybody's stuff, they've got lots of chaos. And the reason they've got lots of chaos is because they're not in place. And as long as they're not in place, they're going to have disorder. Life won't go well for them. They're going to have challenges. They're going to struggle to have relationships. They'll struggle with their finances. They're going to struggle with the highs and lows of depression. Because why? They haven't found their place. But when you're in your place, there's grace. This guy knew his place. He knew where he operated in the sphere of things. He knew where he was in the company. He knew where he was in life. And so he said, okay, here, I can look at someone and just say, go, and they go. But at the same time, when my officers tell me to go, I go. I understand order. It's really what he was saying. And Jesus looked at him and he said, wow, this is amazing. Because you're not even a Jew. You're a Gentile. And then he makes a prophetic statement. He says, the day will come in the kingdom of heaven when these Gentiles, there will be Gentiles sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And do you know why he was saying that? He was saying, you think you deserve this because you are Jewish, but if you don't operate in order, your birth doesn't give you right. I want to say that to us as Christians. A lot of Christians think because they're Christians, they get free passes, and it's not true. And just because you're Christian, you don't get a free pass. You have to look at your life and say, wow, there are people who aren't maybe even Christians that understand order who have a better life than I have. Why? They understand place. This is really what Jesus was saying. And he said, now look, this means faith. So you got to look, say, okay, my life needs order. Second thing I want you to look at, Order does not operate without faith from both the influencer and the influencee. This man had to have faith in the one above him. He had to have faith, but also, it's amazing, God had faith in him, or Jesus, he had faith in the man. Do you know why he could bless this man? It's because he looks and says, I can have confidence in him. He understands his place, so I can bless him, because why? He's in place. He's got order. It's huge when we see the principles that God is teaching us. Now, I want us to walk on. Align your life in a way that keeps things in proper order. Align it. Denise and I, we live in a loft downtown, and there's about 8 units above us in our loft that we never hear. They're on the seat, on the roof. But when this storm came through, ice, the other night we were sitting there, and I mean there was a vibration that shook our entire building, and it's a big building. And it was just shaking, and it'll boom, 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 boom. She looked at me, and I looked at her, and she said, what is that? And I said, well, it's the units up there. But she said, well, I said, I don't know. So we contacted some folks. Do you know what happened to those units? Ice formed on some of the fans, and it put them out of balance. And an air conditioning heating unit out of balance vibrated the entire building, big building. And I thought, wow, something that simple can come along and throw our life out of balance, and look what it does to us. And they came back after it warmed up. They got up on the roof, and they looked, and they said, there's nothing wrong. It wasn't a problem after the ice melted. But the ice put a weight, and it threw it out of balance, and that unit vibrated the entire building. Now, it's important for us to understand alignment. Alignment's not easy. Sometimes it's painful. I used to farm in Mississippi, and we had a cotton picker. And every winter or in the spring, we would take and we would shim those spindles. And it was getting them lined up, because those spindles had to be aligned just perfectly with the buffers, which pads. And because if the spindles were not aligned with the buffer pads, then whenever that spindle picked up the cotton would stay on it. But if you got it lined up just right, the buffer pads, they were running twice as fast as the spindles, and they took the cotton off of those spindles, and then it took it up and put it in the blower. And it was important. We would take little shims, and we would look, and we had measures, and we had to measure it just right, because if it was off just a little bit, then it's going to cause problems and shut down the operation, because life is about alignment. That's what Christ has come. Get order in your life. Walk in alignment. You know, I read the story of Esther the other day, and it's such an incredible story. If you read Esther chapter 2, you see where she was to be presented before King Ahasuerus. Did you know that the preparation that she had to go through, she spent 1 year in preparation to even come before him to maybe be chosen? It was not a sure thing. There were lots of young women who were being presented before the king. He was as the potential queen. But in order to be presented before the king, you had to go through preparation. Esther experienced the most incredible spa treatment you can ever imagine. The Bible says that she spent 6 months with just myrrh, oil of myrrh. She was just being constantly bathed with oil of myrrh. And then the next 6 months, it was about spices and cosmetics. And so she spent all of this time being prepared. You've got to have your skin just right. You've got to have a glow. You've got to have a radiancy. You've got to have the right foods. You've got to look right for when you come before the king. And then when she came before the king, the Bible says in chapter 5, and she put her finest dress on and presented herself before the king. And I got to reading that, and I thought, wow, you know what it's really saying? Esther is telling the presentation is important. Presentation is important. She took time. She attended to the details. And as she took time and attended to the details, the presentation was absolutely important. Now, I want you to look with me next. Everything has a time and a season. Everything has a time and a season. Now, this is where choices come in. What is in your life today is usually not meant to stay in your life forever. Okay. You have to make choices. I want you to look with me at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. They're going to put it on the screen, and I just want to look at this. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. Now this first one you don't have a lot of choice on. There's a time to be born. You didn't get to choose that. And there's a time to die. Sometimes there's a little bit of choice you may have in that. A lady asked me one time, she said, "Will I go to hell for smoking cigarettes?" And I said, "No, but you may go to heaven sooner than you plan on it." Okay, so there's some things in life you can hurry it up a little bit, okay? But in truth, a time to be born and a time to die, you don't choose that. But now look at the next one, a time to plant and a time to harvest. You got a choice. Planting in the wrong time, you won't have a harvest. Trying to harvest in the wrong season, there's going to be nothing there. You got a choice. Second one, a time to kill and a time to heal. You have a choice. A time to tear down and a time to build up. You've got a choice. A time to cry and a time to laugh. You got a choice. A time to grieve and a time to dance. You got a choice. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. You've got a choice. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. You have a choice. A time to search and a time to quit searching. You have a choice. A time to keep what keep and a time to throw away. You got a choice. A time to tear down and a time to mend. You've got a choice. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. You've got a choice. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 is all about choices. And it's saying nothing lasts forever. You got to look and say, how do I make choices in my life that bring value? And it's not always clear cut. That's the reason why I started this sermon with the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. As an individual, you have this incredible presence of God that lives inside of you. And he is a gift given to you by Jesus Christ. When he hung on the cross, he said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. And he is going to lead you and guide you into all truth." So you have the Holy Spirit living in your life to guide you, to direct you. So you look and say, okay, everything has a time and everything has a season. I want to tell you this. God has given us filters that give definition to our life. God has given all of us filters. We have a gentleman who comes to our church. He's a judge. I heard him speak 20 years ago, and I'll never forget his talk. And he says, our culture and life has given filters, but we have removed many of those filters. And when you start removing filters, it allows things to come in that we don't need and don't want into our lives, into our systems, into our culture. He says, we have to learn to put the filters back. Raising a family, you have filters in your life. In your personal life, you need to have filters in your life. So if you remove the filters, then you're opening up to not last very long. Because if you take a car and you take the filters off of it, before long, a trash is going to get in. It's going to mess up the pistons, going to mess up the rings, and then it's going to lock down. So you got to have your oil has to have a filter. Your air has to have a filter. Life is full of filters. And so many times we take the filters off. And if you look back at verse 9 in the book of Matthew, and it says, I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers. He's saying, I have filters in my life. And I recognize that these filters are valuable. See, when people struggle with authority, what they're saying is, I don't want a filter. I've recognized that I need authorities in my life. I need people speaking in my life. I need people who can look at me and say, I don't think that's a good idea. No, you should not do that. Because if we have these filters in our life, it allows us to operate better. It allows us to be more efficient. And it leaves us in a place that we can make the right choices in life. We have to have the filters. See, that centurion soldier, he'd been trained. And he valued the training. That's what filters are. It's allowing training to come in your life and valuing that training. You know, really, that's what church is. If you don't know what church is, it's a filter. Church is to be a filter. Church isn't to tell you how to live your life and dictate over you in any way. Church is a filter. It's one of the filters. There's other filters, but it's one of the filters God has given you and he's put in your life. That's why we value it. It's why we push membership, is because we believe everyone needs filters, and this is an opportunity for a filter. But let me go a step further and say this. You have to make the choices about your filters. You have to make the choices of the things you're going to be. And how do you do that? Last week, in all three services, the communion was an incredible experience. But I talked about reference points. And I want to say it was an incredible experience for me personally. I loved last week because I talked about reference points. We have reference points. See, I told you that priest would come before that laver. He would offer up a sacrifice. And when he offered sacrifice, he got bloody because the sacrifice had to be offered up to God. And then his next step was the laver. Where was he going? He was going into the tabernacle, because in the tabernacle was where God's presence was. See, our life should be about moving into his presence. Everything we do should be about, God, I want your presence. God, I want to be in your presence. So, but before you come into the presence of God, there's that place where you look in the mirror. And you just look and say, what about the man that's looking in the mirror? I'm asking him to change his ways. There's just some things about me that I need to make some right choices on, because if I don't, life is going to rule me. I'm not going to be able to rule life. So people say, well, I don't think we're supposed to rule life. I don't buy into that. Can I tell you this? Argue with the creation mandate. Because the creation mandate says you, in your life, are you going to have opposing forces? Yes, that's life. But in the world that you live in the metron that you live in, you have the power to take dominion in that metron, in that sphere that God has given you, in any area of your life. You have the power. And how do you have it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So you got to look and go back to the reference points and look in the mirror and say, wow, I'm looking. And what are things I need to change? What are the things? See, that's when you begin to walk in his image, in his likeness. And that's what God has called us to do. Did you know that's why we believe in human dignity of all human beings? Because why? We are made in the image, in the likeness of God. Likeness. That word likeness says that he wants us to have the nature that he has. He wants us to walk in the nature that he walks in. So when we look at him, you say, God, how do you walk? And let me look in the mirror and take a look and see, is this choice that I'm making one that's going to give me power over my metron, or is it going to be one that takes away? Say, well, what about the little things? Like me going down to Nashville this week. I'll go and look at Emily's car tires. Why do I do that? I'm her dad. I just want to make sure her tires are good. And I go over and I pull up her wiper blades. I want to make sure she's got good wiper blades. Why do I do that? I'm her dad. Can I tell you this? You have a father that cares about things in your life way more than I care about things in my daughter's life. You have a father that loves you a billion times more than I love that girl. He loves you. And every time I get to this place in life where I say, what do I do? We've given you two songs today that I hope does not leave your brain. Oh, how he loves you and me. There is nothing that compares to how much God loves you. Ever how much you love your children, he loves you a billion times more. And I'm looking at the man in the mirror. You're that person. You got to look. You are the person in charge. You are the person that has the influence of the metron of your world. Adam gave his up. I pray that you don't give up and you walk with full authority, with the spirit of living God being inside of you, and start ruling your world rather than allowing the world to rule you. Let's pray. Father, today, I just open up my heart. I love your people. But more than I love your people, you love your people. You care deeply. You love us more than we can imagine. And you want to impart your full grace to us. So, Father, let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and lives, and let it just kind of fill us. And let us engage you. Let us start saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, give me direction. Holy Spirit, let my life be a life that has order. Holy Spirit, when I'm out of order, help me see where I'm out of order and bring it back in alignment to you. Because I want to be able to fill creation mandate. I want to be able to rule the world that you have given me, this metron, the sphere of influence that I have. I want to be able to walk in the authority you have given me in that. Father, I pray that over every individual here today. And may they grow in faith. May they grow in life. May they grow in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Our deacons are here at the front. If you would like communion, they would love to serve you communion today. If you want prayer, they would love to pray with you today. We love you. May God bless you, and may his face shine upon you. You're dismissed in Christ's name. Amen.